from our virtual studios in the Netherlands.
And once again, Camarillo, California.
It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the number one geek slash marketing podcast in the world, the Marketing Geeks Radio Show on your internet.
And here we go with a very, very special episode today. We are going to be covering the magical topic of live videos. So get ready for an exciting, breathtaking, shocking, and truly, truly breakthrough performance by the Marketing Geeks today on the show. It's going to be unbelievable.
That's right. We have the information for your ear holes that you need to be a better marketer and a better human being, actually.
In fact, having listened to this podcast, when you check those ear holes, all the wax will be gone because we're just going to fill that brain with knowledge. And there won't be any room for the wax.
That's right. And now, without any further ado, Andrew Sturgeon and Justin Womack are the Marketing Geeks. We are here live, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we're live right now. You're listening to us like back in time. But right now we're live. Mm-hmm. Like just the two of us.
But in the future, we will be pre-recorded in the future.
Yeah, but you're listening to us in the past. But if you're listening to us, you're listening to us in the future.
Now, let me tell you this. If they ever invent time travel, we would love it if you would come back to while we're recording an episode. It doesn't have to be this one, but you know, one of your favorite episodes, and give us a signal.
Yeah. tell us that. The episode you did on hologram marketing was awesome. And I'll be like, oh, you're from the future. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are back with another fun-filled episode of Marketing Geeks. And in this episode, we are going to go over the magic of live streaming video and how you can use it for marketing purposes, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Because last week we talked about Facebook marketing tips, and we deliberately left off one of the big ones, which we are covering this week, which is live streaming, Facebook Live. We're going to talk about YouTube Live, Twitch, even getting on like platforms like the Mixer or getting on Instagram or getting on all these newer platforms where the new trend is live video. So there's a lot of people that have apprehensions about live video, but the reality is that viewers want authenticity. They want live. They want raw. Polished doesn't work the way it used to. We're in a new era.
Yeah, and this is a really good point because I was recently working with a client, and they were having trouble really connecting to their audience. And I looked at the types of content that they were distributing through their social media channels, and the problem with it was that it was all like very studio, you know, pictures and pictures of their product, and it was always, you know, the pictures were beautiful, but the content that had the most interaction for them was lifestyle content, meaning something that was just like a normal person using their product or someone just out in the world using their product. And yet there's still this idea that things have to be perfect. And let me tell you, folks, we are in a day and age where people like the rawness of things. They like the, you know, something that's not overly polished because, and I think the reason why is because at this point we have seen everything. We've seen dinosaurs destroy New York. We have seen, you know, monsters blow up the planet. We've seen everything. And it is so realistic that even reality, we have trouble making sense of reality nowadays, right? So the more kind of raw and simple something looks, the better it is. So this is where video marketing might be really good for your brand or for something that you're working on. In fact, you know, there's also this concept of like when you're doing even like radio like this, people have hired me to go through their audio podcasting and cut out the ums and the pauses and where they stumble over words. And that doesn't work. So,
it sounds good when you do it, but let me say, yeah, what happens is, even though it's not obvious, like, you can make edits to edit out the ums and the ahs and it'll sound pretty natural. But the thing is that the brain's going to realize that, you know, people don't talk that way. People talk with ums, people talk with ahs. And I don't even care if you're in Toastmasters and you've like mastered this skill. The reality is most people do have little tics or little keywords that they repeat, or ums, ahs, or that kind of get in the way. So it's the authenticity, it's the naturalness. And also people like to watch like documenting your journey. So especially right. if you're a beginner and you document from, you know, from the early days, and then you actually go out there and you start crushing it and you've actually got the footage documented. I mean, you're going to build up a viewer base in the short run for people that follow you. But in the long run, people are going to go back and rewatch that stuff because they're going to go like, wow, he came from here to there. And you can even use some of that when you're, you know, when you're on stage or something, you could play old clips of you and show where you were versus where we are.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, you know, this is where, again, live streaming video can really come into play to helping your brand. And we're going to get into the uses in this episode. We'll get into the uses of that and the platforms, because there's actually a variety of platforms that you may not know about, and tools that you can use to really help give yourself a leg up in this realm. But before we do that, I think that we should cover some marketing news. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. Marketing news with Andrew Sturgeon.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. We need, you know what? I need to find a theme song for our marketing news. That's what I think. I'm going to put that on my to-do list. So
I'm counting on you, Audio Jungle. Deliver the goods for December. Just make the free track a good marketing news intro.
That's right. That's right. And for those of you who don't know what Justin is referring to, the website Audio Jungle, every month they give away one free audio track that you can use royalty free for anything, any project. And a lot of times they're really good. In fact, all the audio that we're using on the show is from good old Audio Jungle. So, all right. In marketing news, this is kind of interesting. I have a little thing here about, this isn't quite marketing, but it's kind of interesting. Ohio becomes the first state to accept Bitcoin for tax payments. What do you think of that? That's pretty interesting.
It's interesting. I mean, theoretically, the more common Bitcoin gets into day-to-day use, the more the potential it has to grow in value. Now we're in a time where just this last weekend, Bitcoin dropped below 4,000. It was in the $3,000 range. I forget exactly how low it got, but it's pretty low. I mean, it started the year. It was at December 2017. It hit 20 or 21,000, and now we're down to mid. It was down to like 3,500, maybe 3,700. And it's back up to 4,000 today. So it's had a significant drop off. What I was telling you, Andros, before we started recording too, is that there's a lot of big banks and investors that are getting into it right now. So it kind of begs the question of, okay, is this drop off the final drop, and then is it going to come back up, or is Bitcoin truly just a fad that's going to go away, and it was just a big hype machine like the dot-com bust in the early 2000s? I don't know.
Yeah, and it remains to be seen, but you know, it is becoming more accepted. And the only problem that Bitcoin has right now is the fact that the transactions can take a while. And as more people use it, then getting those transactions done quickly, I mean, you know, the fewer people that use it, the faster the transactions happen. But if it takes, and then the transaction fees, of course, the higher the price of Bitcoin, the larger the transaction fee is. So there's some limitations to Bitcoin itself. However, the technology I still think is one of the most disruptive technologies available today. It has the potential to do everything from shut down banks to change how the stock market is done to even how we share information, voting. It's impossible to do voter suppression with blockchain technology. So, for instance, if the way that blockchain works, briefly, for those of you who don't know, is that if you have if I decide to send you money, for instance, it used to be that if I send it through like PayPal, I send the request to PayPal, then PayPal sends it to you, and they have like a centralized database. But with blockchain, I send you the money, and the exchange from me to you is verified through various people who help solve that mathematical equation. And when I deliver it to you, we can check it on the blockchain to make sure that it happens. So it's all verified and it's open for everybody. Whereas if I go through like a PayPal, I have to just trust PayPal and just say, well, PayPal says that it happened, so it happened. And where voting could really be disrupted is, let's say that I vote for a politician or a president or whatever, then I could actually do it from my phone because I have a vote token, if you will. And once I use that token, I can't use it again. I basically transfer it back to the holder, which is going to be the government. And I can track through the blockchain. I can go online and I can see exactly where my vote went. So it's all open. Everybody sees it, yet it's still anonymous. So it has the potential to really make voting fair. And you could do it from your computer or your phone. And you can't fake it either. So it's more secure than regular voting. So I think that this is kind of the next iteration of all of this, but mm-hmm. I'd like to see some sanity in our world and blockchain voting happen.
since we're down this rabbit hole, I'll just say some of the other uses that have been proposed are like for medical doctors that can prescribe pills and then have a verification that that's actually the doctor, that's actually the patient, you know, verifying, essentially being able to do those kind of transactions online versus having to see a patient face to face and writing a physical prescription and going through that traditional process. Another metaphor that I've heard for blockchain technology is the idea of triple entry accounting versus double entry. So it's got a verification piece. It's a very powerful technology that runs behind Bitcoin, and it has the potential to pretty much change the world. And it also has the potential to get a big, heavy regulation put on it by the U.S. government or some other governments too. So who knows what they allow to happen and who knows where this actually goes. But the technology is definitely has the potential to be massively disruptive.
That's right. But as things develop, believe me, we will bring it to you here on the Marketing Geeks. We also have, this is an interesting story. So Black Friday, right, just happened. And if you're listening to this in the future, then it happened sometime back, but depending on how deep in the future you're listening to this program. But Black Friday was a huge success. What are the numbers? You had them up.
The numbers are actually for Cyber Monday that I have up. So Amazon announced that Cyber Monday was the biggest shopping day in the company history, and that includes topping their Prime Day, which they sold $100 million of products in one day. So they actually did numbers greater than that. They haven't announced the specific numbers, but they've said it's greater than $100 million in sales for one day. And the best seller was actually the Amazon Echo Dot. So we recently talked about how the smart speaker trend had been kind of dying off, but you know, the Amazon Echo Dot is a smart speaker. So I guess there is still a bit of a demand and people were just waiting for the Black Friday sale and the Cyber Monday sale to go pick one up.
Interesting. But you know what? It still dwarfed Singles Day in China. So Singles Day in China was the absolute biggest shopping day on the planet. And Singles Day, for those of you who don't know, is on November 11th. That's 1111. And it's run through Alibaba, which is the Chinese version of Amazon. And it's a lot bigger than Amazon. And so they apparently had much bigger sales than.
Yeah, I need to give a quick clarification on my story. It was 100 million products sold. So there was greater than 100 million products, not 100 million revenue. So that would be actually pretty, that would be considered low. So it was 100 million products. Yeah. So I had to clear that up.
Wow. Far out. Well, so the moral to this story is we should have created Amazon like a long time ago. We should have done that, but we didn't.
You know, the history of Amazon, though, is that company took a loss for the first 10 years or something. I mean, it was, that company was bleeding cash for a long, long time, but Bezos had a vision. He stuck with it, and now he's the richest person on the planet. So it worked out for him.
Yeah. Have you seen his transformation? Have you seen what that guy looked like back in the day? He looked like Bill Gates. Now he looks like J.K. Simmons. He's like buff and looks like he can crush cans with his like mind. It's crazy, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's,
I guess,
amazing.
When you're that rich, you can do whatever you want.
It's amazing what, you know, $100 billion or whatever will do for you.
That is true. So, all right. So let's get on to the meat of the program. So we're going to be talking about the evolution of and the uses for live streaming video. So the question is, why would you use live streaming video? It has various uses. And, you know, I come from a background where my mother was on the evening news back in the 70s and early 80s. She was on a local TV station there in the in California. And so if you wanted to get yourself seen, or you wanted to get information about your story out to the world, the only way to do it was to get it covered in the news, right? That was the only way to get it done. And the gatekeepers of those platforms were far and few between. So basically you had your television stations. Back then there was only a few of them. Maybe there was like maybe 10 stations in general. And then you had like the movie companies, and their cable TV was just coming on the scene. So if you really wanted to get your story told, it was kind of difficult to do. And then if you wanted to run a commercial, or you wanted to get some advertising done, then producing a commercial would cost you, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. It would, because you had to like produce the commercial, then you had to get it broadcast on TV. And it was quite a barrier to break through. But nowadays, things are a lot easier, and we have tools that are basically free. And if you have a cell phone in your pocket, you have a full production studio that can help you create content that will get more eyeballs than almost anything else, you know, in history. So,
and it'll broadcast at a higher... It'll broadcast at a higher resolution than like anything possible in the 90s and probably even the early 2000s. It's crazy.
That's right. That's right. Back in the day, they had the resolution was 720 by 480. And now we have 4K cameras that can broadcast that. And it's really interesting, because if you were to do lines of resolution on film, like regular, you know, like actual film, which they don't do anymore, but film was the equivalent is about 11K. So now they're at 4K, and 8K is on the horizon as well. So, you know, this is a whole new area. So you can actually have a larger audience than the best TV shows back in the 70s and 80s. So what would be the uses of doing a live video? Well, we had a client who was a real estate agent. You want to tell the story? Because this is a good one.
No, you go ahead and tell it. Tell the story.
No. Don't let me stop you. Okay, I'll tell it. So we had a real estate agent client who was having trouble getting people to find out about our houses. And so we had a consultation with her, and we said, well, have you considered doing like live streaming with your you know, with like the houses that you're in. And she kind of hemmed and hawed and was like, I don't know, that doesn't feel right to me. And I go, listen, just do an experiment, go to a house and do a Facebook live stream and just walk around the house with your cell phone and do a live stream with your cell phone and see what happens. And so she did. And so she showed the house and just was her walking around, showing the neighborhood, walking around the neighborhood. And the very next day, someone called and said, hey, I saw that live stream of yours. And they signed an offer like the next day. So she sold the house. And so now that's something that she does on a regular basis. And so basically what the platforms that like every platform out there, every major social media network is now getting into the live stream game. So we have, of course, Facebook, which does Facebook Live. We have YouTube, which does YouTube Live. We have Instagram, which is owned by Facebook, and they have a live streaming integration. I think that LinkedIn has been talking about doing it as well. And then, of course, there's Twitch, which is a video game platform, but that's owned by Amazon. So there's a reason that live streaming is getting so popular. It's because people are watching it. And I think it has to do with the fact that the rawness, the realness of events as they are unfolding is very appealing to people. So you can leverage this with your business in certain ways. So let's say, for instance, that here's another use case. I had a client who was they had a superfood company, and they were into doing like big productions and, you know, videos that would they try and go viral. And I told them, why don't you just do a video where when you're mixing the product together for packaging, just do a live stream of that, because it's hypnotic to watch the product being put together, and just showing that process is interesting, because once the live stream is done, it also then gets archived and people can watch it later. So it becomes part of the overall narrative of your brand. And so you can leverage that to your, to your advantage.
And to add to that, Andros, there was a survey done by New York Magazine. This was done in 2017, but they surveyed 1,000 adults, and 67% of the viewers said that that 87% would prefer to watch live video if it meant getting behind the scenes content. So what you're talking about is kind of getting a behind the scenes look at how the superfoods are processed. They want to see what's happening behind the scenes. And that's a big thing in the coaching industry. It's a big thing in marketing. People want to know like what goes into it. They want to learn how to do it for themselves. And they want to get to know the people too. So a big part of it is like people connect to authentic people. So if you're putting on a facade, right, and you're pretending to be someone else, it doesn't, you know, it used in the 90s, that's like how people were and that's how it worked. But now we're in an era where, again, it's authenticity wins.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're in this era of like, you know, it's hard to know what is real. People are always talking about like fake news and real news, like people who don't like real news call the real news fake news. And then there is fake news, and it gets to the point where people just throw up their hands and go, I don't know what to believe anymore. You know, and we're used to being sold a bill of goods through advertising, and, you know, people not being authentic and politicians not being authentic. So when something becomes authentic and real and raw and doesn't have that air of production to it, I think people are gravitating towards the realness. So this is where a live video platform could be really good for you, whether or not you're just doing your thought of the day, doing a streaming thing where you're just talking, you know, off the top of your head. Maybe you want to talk about your process as a business owner. Maybe you want to talk about like the things that are bothering you or the challenges that you have. The trouble with social media in general, and this is something they've done lots of studies on Facebook about this, when you post something on Facebook, there's two types of posts people do. There's like, look at how great my life is posts, right? which is you're really just seeing the highlights of that. And as you look at someone's life, and this is why I stopped posting on Facebook altogether, because, well, to be honest with you, I'm having a pretty epic life right now. And I'm, you know, living in Europe and building the business, and it's pretty awesome.
I'm going to get you back on Facebook. I'm getting you back. You're coming back.
You do that, man. But the point is that like when you do that, it kind of makes people feel like, oh, that person's having an epic life. And so they feel like they have to outdo it. So they got to post stuff, and you end up just posting stuff that isn't really authentic. It's not, you're just posting like the shiny bits of your life. Mm-hmm. So you're editing out the realness of it, right? And then there's the other types of people on this, on the converse side, that's like, pray for me. My dog is lost. And yeah. And it's like, really, I don't give a crap about your dog that's lost. Really. I hate people that post that type of stuff. So, I mean, not that so you're
sympathy posts. Yeah.
The sympathy posts. It's like, come on, man, I don't care. And no one's going to post about like, hey, I went to work today and I had an average day. So Facebook has a tendency to make you feel bad. So that's why I hate it. But when you're just raw and out there and just like really just facing life the way that it is, it, real time, unedited, there's something real about it and fascinating. So this is why it will work for your brand, you know, especially if you're consistent with it. People want to see what you're up to. So there's a couple of platforms that you can use. So of course we have regular old Facebook Live, which is just mm-hmm. kind of
which is the big one. I would say it's the big one right now. So let me talk about Facebook Live for a second, Anders. what's really great about Facebook Live is that if you're in a coaching or a marketing business, I mean, you essentially can have a seminar in a box, or you can reach a large audience from your phone, and you can give a presentation, you can make an offer, you can do a lot of things that were never accessible in the past. And what I'm seeing a lot of is these high-end coaches that are creating private Facebook groups, and they're instead of delivering their coaching via in-person mastermind, they're doing like Facebook Live masterminds, and they're hosting them on live chat. So it's the uses of it are continuing to evolve, and then of course they're charging big money for this because they're getting you know one-on-one access or private access, but it's through the medium of Facebook Live. So the medium continues to evolve. Now, back in 2016, 2017, when you did a Facebook Live, it pretty much went out to your entire audience and everybody was getting the Facebook Live notifications. They've added some restrictions on it now where you can kind of mute people if you don't want to get notified when they go live. I don't think it gets pushed out as much as it used to get out to everybody because so many more people are using it. So I mean, with everything, you know, if you get in early, you get the best bang for your buck with it. But now there's also Facebook Stories, which we're not going to talk too much about that right now, but, it's a powerful platform. So that's what I got to say about it.
Yeah. And so, you know, part of the thing is that, and this is also the case is that if you start broadcasting, Facebook Lives, the same algorithm applies to your Facebook Live that applies to any post, which is if somebody starts watching it, it will feed that Facebook Live to other people in your stream and or in your network. And then if more people comment or watch it, then it will be fed to more people as well. So if depending on the time of day you do it, if you do it in the middle of the day and like if I did it right, you know, in the middle of my day, it's going to be the middle of night in America. Most of my connections are in America. So not too many people would actually see it and it would probably fall flat. However, if I did do something interesting, this is kind of the other component of it. If I do a Facebook Live, it then becomes part of the of your stream, so people can watch the replay later. And if people start watching the replay and commenting on it and interacting with it, then it will then. The replay will then go into your timeline, so people will watch it.
Can I say something else?
No,
I'm going to. I'm just going to say something else, Andros. I have a voice. I have a voice. that was from the King's Speech, and what I wanted to say is that there's like an element of personal growth to this thing as well, because a lot of people are super uncomfortable being on live video. I mean, that's the reality. A lot of people are uncomfortable being on regular video, and so there's an element of personal growth to this thing. And the more you do it, the better you get. So just like with podcasting, just like with anything, the more you actually do it, the better you get. So one of the strategies that I'm in a mastermind, and one of the fellow mastermind members was, he's a realtor, and he was given a challenge to do, I think it was 30 Facebook Lives in 30 days. And so he decided that he would do them all at like 2 a.m. Because he didn't want anyone to view them. But what happened is, you know, he did them at 2 a.m. and like, you know, one or two people showed up. But what happened is over time, he got more and more confidence in it. And now he's basically can't stop doing Facebook Lives, and he's getting massive engagement, and it's building his brand. It's helping him sell real estate, and it's kind of ignited his business. So, again, it's, there is some self-work that goes into this, because if you're uncomfortable being on camera or you're uncomfortable with being in public, it's you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot because you're missing out on a big opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if you're doing either marketing for yourself or for a client, this is a low entry point for any client. So for instance, if you're, let's say you're doing some marketing for a client, you can tell them like, hey, let's just get together and do a couple of Facebook Lives. You could just charge them per the hour, and the results will be a lot more beneficial to them, cost-wise, than just doing a full-on video production. And even if you don't know how to do any video production whatsoever, this is a low barrier point for anyone to do. So we have Facebook Live, and it just so you know, if you want to know how to do a Facebook Live, if you don't know how to do one already, it's super easy. All you have to do is go into Facebook, act like you're going to do a post, like a regular post. And rather than writing something, there's a little button that says live. So you just press that and you go. And so it's also on your phone, super duper easy. Same thing with Instagram. Instagram, of course, is owned by Facebook. So you could do a Instagram Live. And now the thing with Instagram Live is that Instagram Lives will let you play that as long as you want. However, it doesn't
one hour. 1 hour is the cap. There's a 1 hour.
1 hour is the cap. Okay. And it doesn't stay in your timeline either. So because it goes over the 1 minute video mark. So it'll stay in your stories, but it won't stay in your timeline permanently. So it will disappear. So, but it is, you know, if you have a large base of people on Instagram, you can leverage that to your own, for your own purposes. Now there's a couple of tools out there.
Just to add to that, I just wanted to say, Instagram was, just to reiterate, is a mobile only platform. Unless you're running special software, you're going to be only mobile to be able to post a live video. So you won't be able to do that from a desktop. When Facebook first launched Facebook Live, it was only mobile. It was only mobile devices. And then they've in the last year, they've added the ability to broadcast from your desktop. So you can do it either way now.
Yeah.
But with Instagram, if you do a live, let's say you do a 1 hour live, you could save it to your phone as a video, and then you could repurpose it on YouTube or Facebook or somewhere else. But it won't post your timeline, because your timeline on Instagram can only host 1 minute videos. So.
And Ben. That's a good point. And one other thing, bear in mind also that the audience, there's an audience discrepancy between Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is going to be definitely a younger audience, maybe 30 and under. Facebook is considered your grandma's social network. So, you know, if you want to reach grandma, that's great. But so, you know, if your product is skewed towards mostly older people, use Facebook Live. If it skews towards younger people, you'd want to do something like Instagram. Now, there's a couple of tools.
If you're really cool like me, you might get on Twitch, though.
Oh, really cool. Shoot, man. I'm not that cool. So there's a couple of tools that we want to go over, because there's ways that you can actually make your streaming content even better on Facebook. And one of those is one called Lightstream. You go to golightstream.com. We'll put a link down at the bottom. And this is nice. They have a premium and a freemium version of this software. And you can use it for gaming purposes. You can use it for running a talk show if you want. So the nice thing about this is that you can do basically like a talk show format where you have like a split screen with somebody who's talking. You can have their name underneath. So again, this is one of those things where in the 70s and 80s, this would have been like... To get this type of thing going, you would have had to have gotten on TV, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of production. Now you just run this piece of software that's free, and you can run a talk show essentially from your desktop and interview anyone anywhere in the world. So here's something that you know you definitely want to leverage. Like, let's say, for instance, that you want to start some sort of video blog or some sort of content creation for your business, for your service. You know, if you're a marketer and you want to like get to be known, you can bring people onto your quote show and do a live talk show directly from your computer, and where you have the split screen, the bottom, the lower thirds, where you have their names underneath. It looks really professional, and it's totally free. And so basically, you would use Go Lightstream. You would go through Go Lightstream, and it would post directly to your Facebook page, and then you can run the talk show that way. So that's a really good option for you as well.
I want to add to that, that with Go Lightstream, you can also do, if you could do screen shares. So if you're doing a demo of a software or you're demoing a process online, you could do a screen share and you could actually put your image in the corner. You can move your image anywhere you want. You can be broadcast at the same time as a screen share if you want to do that.
That's right.
So that's a pretty cool feature. You can change out your background. Like, I did a Facebook Live last year where I was at the beach. And I was trying to make a joke out of making money on the beach, but it didn't go over. Nobody laughed.
Yeah.
And this broadcast to Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or Mixer. And Twitch and Mixer are both video game broadcasting software. Or they're live stream softwares where they're predominantly people stream themselves playing video games. There is some other uses for it, but the predominant use of Twitch and Mixer are people streaming video games and younger... I'd say a younger audience goes on there to watch them play video games, comment, and some people like that. They like to watch people play video games. I used to like playing video games. I don't know, but I guess people just like to watch people playing video games now.
Yeah, it's like, man, it used to go from like kids just riding their bikes around. I mean, that's what I used to do when I was like 12. I would just like ride my bike around and, you know, learn how to, you know, just, you know, steal dirty magazines.
You know what's coming?
And
you know what's coming though, Andres? I think because, you know, I have a 6-month-old child. What's coming is the kids are going to be watching people that are watching people play video games. So, you know, it's going to be like three live videos deep, three layers deep.
Whoa.
And you'll just be watching somebody sitting in front of a screen watching somebody else. And that's the
Inception.
That's the future.
That's so
meta,
dude.
If you're from the future, come back and tell me that I was right. I can't wait.
I'm going to watch someone watching someone playing video games. It's crazy. It's kind of like, you ever go to a concert? You know, I love going to a concert, and one of my favorite pieces of footage was I went to the Hollywood Bowl to see the Moody Blues. And nobody knows who they are anymore, but they were on the stage and somebody in front of me was filming the giant screen that was showing what was happening on the stage. So of course I had to film their cell phone, filming the screen, filming what was happening right in front of us. That was pretty meta.
That's pretty cool.
Meta. So another
one last thing. One last thing on Go Lightstream. The learning curve on Go Lightstream is a little bit steeper than some of these other platforms we're going to talk about. So it's not – this platform, I would say, is not for everyone. If you have basic video editing skills and you have a basic knowledge of like setting up a standard API, it's maybe those tech, maybe those terms sound intimidating. It's probably easier than it sounds, but there are some people that are technology challenged and there are easier options out there too.
That's right. So if you are like a technology Luddite, then there is some learning curve. It's I mentioned my mother, who's like, I keep telling her, Mom, if you want to talk to me, I'm like across the planet, like use WhatsApp. And she keeps saying, WhatsApp doesn't work for me. You just hit the button. Just hit. She still doesn't get. Just hit the button that says WhatsApp, and it will work. Doesn't work. Okay. Another piece of software that's a little bit more on the challenging side is called OBS Studio. That stands for Open Broadcaster Software. This is a free and open source piece of software for video recording and live streaming. And basically what it does is you can record from your computer onto this. This is really good if you just want to get if you just want to record like you playing a video game and then post it later. But you can also do live streaming with it, and it connects directly to Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. So if you want to do any kind of like live streaming, this is because it's open source, it's not super, the interface is good, but there's still a little bit of technical know-how that you'll have to use. But it's a free piece of software, open source. So you can use that for your Twitch streaming, Mixer, and YouTube. And it's like a studio in a box. So you can basically do like split screens. You can have like guests. You can do screen sharing. Good for software demos, that sort of thing. So this is if you go to obsproject.com, we'll leave a link down below. You can go to this and use this free piece of software that will help you with your live streaming.
That's probably the most difficult one out of the ones we're mentioning here. But again, it's got a lot of very cool functionality. Now, Open Broadcasting Software, OBS, I believe does not connect to Facebook. But again, it does connect to YouTube. So I watched some YouTubers that use OBS, and the quality is great, and they're able to do some cool effects with it. You can, if you're teaching internet marketing or something online, it's a great screen sharing software too. So it's a good platform.
Now, as far as like doing live broadcasting, if you want just a simple entry point, you can also, of course, use YouTube. YouTube does live streaming as well. That's pretty simple to do. If you go into your YouTube account and you click on upload, like you're going to upload a video, there's a button right next to it that says broadcast live. So you can do live streaming directly from YouTube as well. And then, of course, if you do a live stream from YouTube, then it will allow you to save it as a video file, and then you can post it later anywhere you want. You can drop it into LinkedIn. You can drop it onto Facebook, although if you drop your YouTube link onto Facebook, it won't go very far because Facebook doesn't like outside competitors on their platform.
And let's give a mention here to a couple of other live streaming platforms. We're not going to go into them right now because we're going to run out of time, but Twitter Live was just introduced this year. So before, Twitter owns Periscope, which is Periscope is a live streaming app. It's also where like the most trolls live. Like it's funny, Twitter is like the land of trolls, whether you're on Periscope or Twitter. Yeah. It's like the most trolls ever there. But the Twitter just introduced Twitter Live now, so you don't have to go through Periscope anymore. You can actually go live there. We're not going to go deep on Twitter today because we're going deep on Facebook and YouTube. But let's get into some of the simpler broadcasting software. So the reality is that the first two we talked about are both fully free. I guess Go Lightstream it's a freemium, but you can get away with the free version and do a very cool effect. So either OBS or Go Lightstream, you can get away with the free versions there. The next two platforms are going to be paid. So the first one I want to talk about is BeLive.tv. Mm-hmm. So BeLive.tv, I believe it's $20 a month, and you can get a 14-day trial or a 7-day trial. They definitely give you some kind of a trial. I forget what it is. But you'll see this a lot on Facebook. If you've been on Facebook recently, you've probably seen Facebook Lives where they have like the title tags. They kind of look like on the news. They'll have the person's name and maybe their title on the bottom with a graphic. Most people that are doing that are using this platform, BeLive.tv. And it's got a pretty simple user interface. So as far as simplicity goes, this is one of the more simple ones to get on there, put on your title tags. You can add a watermark of your brand logo in the video. And it also has the functionality of doing split screen interviews, and you can do screen sharing. So it gives you all those different functions on an easier user interface, which is really what you're paying for. You're paying for that simpler ease of use.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good one. So if you want something that's a little more professional and easier to use, that would be a good platform. What else you got for us?
I guess the last one that we're going to talk about today, and there's probably, I'm sure there's more, but Zoom Webinar is a pretty cool tool. So Zoom is a video conferencing platform. It's a freemium. If you can get a free version of Zoom, and that's only for video conference calls. And you can only host them for, I think it's like 45 minutes for free, and your call will end after 45 minutes. You could pay $15 a month, and then you can host calls as long as you want, and you can record them. Or if you pay $55 a month, you can get what's called Zoom Webinar. And Zoom Webinar is essentially, it's a webinar platform, but it also has the capability of simulcasting on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. So while you're doing your webinar, if you want to even broaden your audience even more, you can simulcast your webinar to, again, YouTube Live or Facebook Live. So it's a pretty cool platform. As far as the limitations with this one are, as far as I've seen, the comments don't come through to you. So if people are commenting on Facebook, unless you have a separate window open to be responding, the interactivity with your audience is going to be a little bit reduced using this platform. And that's a problem with some of these platforms. And BeLive.tv is probably the best one where the comments show up in the platform. So it's easier to engage with people. That's the drawback to it, but it's a pretty awesome platform. It's great if you're going to make a sales pitch because you have, you really can control your environment. You can screen your PowerPoints. You can insert like different things like quizzes and things like that that'll show up. So it's a
nice,
it's a pretty cool platform. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, basically, there are a lot of options for you. If you want to do live streaming, you can do it directly from your phone. You could do it on YouTube. You can do it on Facebook from your phone. If you want to get a slightly more higher production value, you can do it from your desktop using some of these platforms that we mentioned. But the main thing is this, is just try it. If you're again, authenticity is what people are craving nowadays. So go for it. Just
push the button.
You can do
push the button.
Just push the button. And just remember this too, is that you will always be your own worst critic. So one of the biggest issues that I have with pretty much every single client I talk to about this is like, I hear this. I don't want to put anything out there unless it's 100% professional because my name's going to be on it. Forget that. That is your biggest barrier in life. And if you really want to do something, just go for it. Because as you've mentioned before on this program, Justin, version one is better than version none. And people like the wrinkly bits. People like the authenticity. They like warts and all. So don't be afraid to just go out there and be yourself on these things. And you are going to hate it worse than anyone out there. honestly. So don't be afraid to just make a fool out of yourself, because you're going to make a bigger fool out of yourself to yourself than you will to anybody else. And that's just the bottom line, unless you're some politician.
You'd be surprised how quickly people will forget about it too. So, you know, it might hurt your ego a day or so, but nobody's going to remember shortly. And one other thing I want to say is that I've heard this quote that perfectionism is actually the lowest standard that we can hold for ourselves. So people think of it as like this high standard, but in reality, when you're not taking action, you're not doing anything. It's the lowest standard that we can hold for ourselves. So it's a way of kind of reframing that conversation. Yeah.
So leave a message, like connect with us on LinkedIn. If you're doing any live streaming, share it with us. We want to see it. So please let us know how you're doing with that. And so finally, in closing, we encourage you to do some live streaming. Let us know how you do it. Check out some of the links below of some of the platforms that we mentioned. And with that, we're going to do a little bit of geek news. What do you think?
Yeah, let's get into it. Why don't you kick us off with the geekiest news story you got?
All right, the geekiest news story I got. I love this. This is really cool. Netflix is creating a, quote, story universe based on the work of Roald Dahl. Now, for those of you who don't know Roald Dahl, he, of course, was the author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, one of the best ever, Matilda, the BFG, but there was also a lot of other different books that he did, The Amazing Mr. Fox, of course, we will finally get to see the sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator. Did you know there was a sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
Not until right now, but now I do.
You were abused as a child then. I would get into therapy.
Did I tell you this? When I posted on Facebook about like your favorite Christmas movie, somebody listed The Year Without Santa Claus as their favorite Christmas movie, and I'm like, I've never even seen this. I thought it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that claymation, because it's like that same stop motion claymation, and that's the same thing he posted on there. He's like, you were abused as a child if you didn't see this movie.
Well, shoot, man, I would have a serious talk with your parents. Have that come to Jesus moment.
I didn't know that there was a sequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I didn't see A Year Without Santa Claus, or I never even heard of it. Man, I had a tough upbringing.
Whew, yeah, first world problems. But basically, Netflix is going to create a extended universe. And so they're going to go into they're going to go into these older books and some of the lesser known books, and they're going to create a kind of like a Marvel Cinematic Universe type of thing, but with the with the Roald Dahl books. So what I envision is going to happen is they're probably going to do a remake of all of these movies, including Willy Wonka, including, you know, now we'll get to see Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, Mr. Fox, like all of these things. And then they're probably going to, each of those are probably going to work as a standalone sort of film, like Thor or Iron Man. And then they're going to do like the Avengers of Roald Dahl. So, you know, we'll see Charlie and Willy Wonka meeting the incredible Mr. Fox. Or
just like they did the Avengers of the monster universe at Universal.
Oh my gosh. I cannot wait until The Invisible Man comes out with Benicio del Toro. No, that's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with Benicio. I guess
no, that was Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe was Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Benicio del Toro, right. I don't know what he was. He might have been Wolfman. I don't know.
Wolfman. Wasn't he the Wolfman?
I think he was Wolfman, yeah. Yeah, so
boy, I can't wait.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Universal had the idea of creating a monster universe of all the classic monster characters. They planned a shared universe before they released the first movie. And that first movie was The Mummy with Tom Cruise. It kind of bombed. And after making the announcement, and they did a whole story in like Entertainment Weekly with all the cast of future movies, it kind of just went away.
It fizzled. Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of like you can't just, it's almost like when they make a movie and they're like, this is going to be part of a trilogy. And then they leave it like kind of open-ended for the sequel. And then the sequel never happens.
Yeah.
You know, don't do that.
There's some
just
TV
make
shows.
A movie.
There's some TV shows like that too, with like cliffhanger endings, and they're like, oh, canceled. And no, you don't even get a limited run. You don't even get to resolve anything.
Yeah, I hate when that
right,
happens.
I gotta,
so anyway, look for that. What do you got? What do you got?
I got a hot story. so they're rebooting RoboCop, and Neil Blomkamp of District, was it District 9, right?
That's District 9 District and 9. Elysium.
Elysium, and then, of course, Chappie. the director of those.
Oh.
he's rebooting RoboCop, and the initial... So he basically created artwork and planned to recast Peter Weller in a sequel. So Peter Weller played RoboCop in the original movies. But apparently they jumped the gun on that too, because there's a news story that's leaked that Weller is not interested in playing RoboCop. So there's all these leaked stories about how Neil Blomkamp had planned this movie for him. And now he's saying, I don't really want to play RoboCop. I don't want to go back to that role. So we'll see what happens with that. But so that's a story about a story that's not going to take place. So,
yeah, that's strike two for Neil Blomkamp, because he was going to do an Alien reboot too.
Yeah, I think he even had it at one point basically green lit, and then out of nowhere, what's his name, Ridley Scott came out of nowhere and
Ridley
decided
Scott.
That he wanted
yeah.
to do a Prometheus sequel, and so they went with Ridley Scott instead of the Neil Blomkamp Alien sequel. So.
Well, shoot. So you know what Peter Weller is doing now?
I the last thing I saw him do was Star Trek Into Darkness, and I actually thought he was pretty good in that. But what's he doing now?
Let's see. I don't know if he was in that, but he was a he's a professor of let's see. He was like teaching now. I think he was doing like some teaching. He's still doing some acting and stuff, but I know that he became a professor, and he was actually becoming like teaching art history.
Interesting. I did not know that at all. That yeah. explains why he might not be interested in going back to RoboCop then.
Yeah, well, you know, and if you never saw Naked Lunch, woo, that's like giving birth.
Well, now I gotta see it.
Yeah, no, he has a PhD at UCLA of Italian Renaissance art history, and
it's kind of like Dolph Lundgren, who like looks like the ultimate meathead, and he has like a master's degree in electrical engineering, and he's got like all these incredible degrees. He's some kind of genius.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Meathead.
Yeah. Good old Dolph Lundgren. Finally, I want to close out the show with just kind of this to me is like really just the coolest thing ever. There's a new Mars lander that landed just this week, and it's called InSight. And so NASA touched down on Mars, and it is there have been 44 missions to Mars, and only 18 have been successful. The others have either like blown up in orbit or haven't been able to land or whatever. So the nice thing about this is not only was it a successful landing, which is pretty awesome. I mean, trying to get anything from Earth to Mars is like it's insane. They equate it to trying to hit a golf ball to the moon from Earth, like, you know, just hitting the right trajectory, a lot of math involved. And this lander is going to be the first to drill into the crust and look for microbes to see if there was any previous life forms living on Mars.
What about that oil? We got to drill for oil on Mars.
Well, let me tell you, if there's any resources worth having, look for unobtainium. If they find some unobtainium on Mars, then we'll definitely.
I'm excited for the triumphant return of unobtainium in four new sequels coming out in a few years.
That's right. And if you don't know what we're talking about, leave a comment. If you do know what we're talking about, leave a comment. We want to see how geeky you are.
Yeah, we want to know if you know what unobtainium is, because if you don't know what unobtainium is, your geek card is not that significant.
We're going to steal it from you. So one last thing, final note. We just, if you're listening to this, we just ran our very successful Instagram marketing webinar. These are getting better and better. And we're doing another one in December. What is, drum roll please, what is the new webinar on for December?
The new webinar will be on Google advertising, and we're going to have an emphasis, though, on on YouTube advertising.
That's right. So YouTube advertising is a low entry point for people, and a lot of people don't use it, and it's a really effective type of advertising. Also, display ads, if you want to know how to get those ads to follow you around the internet, we're going to get into that. It's going to be really awesome for everybody. And with that...
In case you don't know this, Google owns YouTube, which is why we're tying Google and YouTube together. So I just wanted to clarify, just in case you didn't know that.
That's right. That's right. Thank you for that clarification. So again, from the Netherlands.
What an amazing, amazing experience this has been every yes. single week.
And if you really like the show, please comment, tell us how much you love it. Share it with 500 of your closest friends. And if you really love it, go to our Patreon page.
And remember, just $5 a month and you get all the recordings of the webinar, including the Instagram marketing webinar. So if you are blown away by the content and you're like, I gotta have this, I gotta have myself a copy of this for life, $5 a month and you'll get access to all the webinar recordings. You know, if you cancel after a month, we'd be sad, but you'd still have all the recordings up to that point. So I'm just letting you know, you could donate $5, you could cancel later on, whatever you got to do. I
love
it.
That's right. Everybody, thank you so much, all of our 7 listeners, for listening to The Marketing Geeks. We'll be back next week with another fabulous show. Until then,
stay classy.